I'm John Batts with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We welcome the author, Jonathan Ward. The new book is The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Jonathan, a very good day to you. The President of the United States at a fundraiser over these last days used the metaphor of a ticking time bomb about the erosion of confidence in China having to do with the miracle no longer being evident in their economy. I believe the president was speaking of the risks of war, the risks of a predator attack by China. Do you account for a ticking time bomb? Does that metaphor make sense to you? Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Well, look, I think the People's Republic of China has always been a ticking time bomb for the United States. You know, they've told us about their ascendancy, about their vision for world order. They've told us that go into war with their region as part of that vision. So now people are ascribing the sort of tensions that are continuing to rise as part of an economic decline of China. I think whether it's the economic ascendancy or the economic decline, China's military modernization, its territorial claims, its conflict with the United States have always been part of it. And it's just coming into sharper and sharper relief as every, you know, month and quarter goes by. So I think the president's remarks were, as his off-script remarks often are, were insightful and honest and interesting. But this is where we are. And we're dealing with a country that has for a long time prepared for conflict in the Pacific. They now have their friends in Moscow engaged in conflict in Europe. And I think that this conflict in many ways has already begun.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, you talk about off-script comments being insightful. Biden, during those comments at that Utah fundraiser, said China is growing around 2%. You know, Bloomberg and everybody else jumped on the president saying, no, that's a misstatement. They were growing at 5. They say they're growing at 5, but maybe what Biden was saying was this is what the U.S. federal government actually thinks. Your thoughts about that?
Well, look, I think that discrepancy is very important. And if that is the assessment of the U.S. government, it would be good for that to find its way more into the public narrative. It would be a very important to hear that distinction from government because, as you said, every single major investment bank is forecasting Chinese growth right now at 5 to even 6% in the past quarter, and they're forecasting it at 4 or 5% for the rest of the 2020s. And the problem with that is a lot of these banking and consultancy projections are what corporate decision making is, revolves around or is done in reference to. So I think, again, you have the business sector just going off the rails when it comes to China. I mean, they are trying to diversify. They are trying to scale back to some extent. But I think real viable corporate strategies are still hopeful about the direction of U.S.-China relations. So the government has always, I think, messaged too little on this and not yet won the discussion about business investment in China. I mean, there's a lot going on with that right now. And you can also see the contradictions in the executive branch when Yellen goes over there and literally says, we want our businesses to continue to engage in China. So there is a bit of a cacophony here. But I think slower growth projections, if true, should find their way more into the narrative. I mean, I think the banks and all the finance sector does have, really strong capabilities in estimating this. And the business sector certainly has strong capabilities in estimating its own, sort of purchase order futures and that sort of thing. So, I think it's always been my position that we need to rein the business sector and the finance sector in to get them aligned with the national interest. And I have always believed the government could do more to achieve that.
Jonathan, the puzzle here is these China bulls recommending 5 to 6% growth. I have some Citigroup, a series of charts that Gordon and I have talked about this last week, showing direct foreign investment in sharp decline, showing trade, both import and export, in sharp decline, showing unemployment among the young people, that is the future, in sharp rising, and also an overdependence, not even that, a complete domination of foreign chip making without which they cannot keep any part of their economy going. So the China bulls at the banks, are they talking in the rearview mirror? Is that what they're telling their clients?
Well, look, I think they're wrong. I think that's always been true. I mean, they're not fully accounting for geopolitical risk. They're not fully accounting for the nature of this regime and its strategies and its intentions. I think that stuff is glanced at on Wall Street, but not fully understood. And that's a huge, huge problem for the United States. To win this, we need not only Washington and the American people, we also need Wall Street. We really do. I mean, that's what it will take to win a global economic competition. So I would love to see them get this right. And at the same time, I think, you know, their macroeconomic forecasting is, you know, probably second to none, unless it's just being baked into a sales narrative, which is also possible and certainly true in certain instances. But I think a lot of the assessments here do show the simple fact that China, as the second largest economy and as a growing economy, you know, is a force to be reckoned with. It's going to stay a part of the world economy. And yet, I think there's this opportunity, and this is what I've, you know, written about in the Decisive Decade, for us to do economic containment, for us to win an economic contest in the near term and medium term in order to win the long-term geopolitical contest. And if you look at some of the macro pressures on China, whether it's youth unemployment, whether it's the housing bubble, whether it's the drop in, you know, exports, all of this is very significant because this can harmonize with the right, not saying we've done it yet, but if we do the right economic containment strategy, all of that will harmonize with China's own problems. You take something like global trade, you know, China's exports have dropped off, you know, 14 or 15% in the last quarter. And it reminds us how absolutely dependent this country is on Western markets. You know, the U.S. market, allied markets, they depend on the OECD and on the U.S. alliance system for growth, for trade, for technology, for capital. And we can remove that, whether it's piece by piece, slowly but surely, or in sort of greater leaps and bounds, we can remove that and then change absolutely the course of their ascendancy. And that's what I think we need to be doing.
Gordon, we've discussed these charts showing decline across the board in Chinese employment and trade. Have you heard anyone say that these charts are irregular or too gloomy?
No, John, because I think the narrative has changed that instead of China being the world's dominant economy in 5 years, people are now really concerned about the trend of recent economic indicators. And these are official indicators, John. And they point to an economy that is either past or approaching the point of no return.
And the domestic consumption market, which was to fuel a recovery for China, is it there, Gordon? And if not, why not?
It's not there, John, because consumer price index for July was down 0.3%. That's significant because it shows a lack of consumer demand. We're also seeing a lack of property purchases. And we're also seeing China head into deflation because producer prices have now been down for 10 straight months. So this is an economy which is basically people aren't going to be buying because they're going to be anticipating lower prices in the future.
And Jonathan, final question. We have about a minute. That deflation report on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, did that surprise you, Jonathan?
Well, no, because I think, in a way, it's linked to the macro picture that has to do with exports. I mean, if they're not able to rebalance, as they've always intended to do, to a consumer-led economy, then they're dependent on the outside world. And if the outside world is purchasing less, then, you know, and consumers aren't going to pick up the demand, then you're going to get into that deflationary picture that Gordon's talking about. You know, how, you know, whether or not it's transitory is still to be seen, but I think it still presents a strategic opportunity for the U.S. to do real containment.
And the containment would look like similar to what the Biden administration recently announced about tech restrictions? Is that what you're recommending?
I think that was a pinprick. We need something much, much larger.
What would that look like, Sean?
Well, you do it across the board. You go after the strategic industries, the emerging technologies. You go after the balance of trade. You do this with the allies, and you start to close them off from our markets, from our technology, and especially capital markets. And the Biden executive order, I think, was a capital markets dimension to a technology strategy. It was not a capital markets strategy.
Jonathan Ward is the author of the recently published The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon writes at Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. And I recommend Citigroup's Sourcing the Decline in Imports and Exports, or as Wall Street says, You Can't Catch a Falling Knife. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.